afraid to speak after that song. Lord, just go downhill. I mean, just go downhill. Let's just think about how great our God is. How great our God is. He created us. He saved us. How great our God is. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much. The fact that you did save us, that you loved us so much. You created us. You created us, and you loved us so much that sent your only Son to die in our place. Lord, how great you are. We thank you for that. Lord, I just pray this morning as we look at things about family and interaction. And Lord, family is also your creation from the very beginning. And that it is made to reflect you. And so, Lord, we thank you for that. And that you give us things to help us understand what you're doing, to give us insight that's all for our own good. And we thank you for that. Just anoint me, I'd speak words of the Spirit and open each heart that they would be open to what you would speak to them. So I thank you for this time. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Now that, you know, we're doing a series on family and everything, and so this title is something we all can agree on with our family. Complicated. Complicated. As I do with each message, I want to read this because it sets the tone of how we're looking at this, and I think that's important. And so the four points that we're having in our mind as we go through this is: one, the family is a world in miniature where life lessons are learned. Number two, a biblical marriage exalts the woman and demands leadership by the man. Number three, a biblical marriage relationship will teach healthy lifelong values to children. And number four, sin messes up everything. Well, we start this on looking at how complicated we are. I want to open up with this verse that really kind of gives the view of why it's so important to try to understand what's going on, and so how we can be motivated to better understand what God's doing. So I want you to look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. Hebrews 12, verse 15. And it says this: see to it that no one fails to obtain the grace or power of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble. By it, many become defiled. Now, failing to obtain the grace of God means that we're unable to operate in the power of God. Okay, we're saved by grace, period. Okay, just, you know, favor. But in our day-to-day walk, to walk in the power of God requires to be able to understand what he's doing. And so we see this, that failing, where it says here, failing to obtain God's grace, it means we're unable to operate in the power of his love or in the power of his strength. Therefore, if we fail to operate in God's power, we will operate out of our flesh, self-interest, and therefore defile others. Doesn't that explain our world today? I mean, right there. So, but this is the Christians. This is the Christians, you know. Have you ever said, well, they're a believer. Why do they do that? Well, God knew we would do it. That's the reason he gave us these verses. That's the reason he teaches us, because he's constantly teaching us, saved by grace, but then we learn to have to learn from him to obtain the full grace and to walk in it as he intended. Now, so like this message says, we're complicated. And we're going to kind of touch on that and how to deal with it and have a better perspective. But one of the things, we're complicated many times because of unresolved issues. I didn't hear anybody shout amen. But anyway, but we're complicated because of unresolved issues in our life. And because of unresolved issues, we are unable to fully operate in the power of God. Now think about that. No, that's fine. Forget it. I'll just go on. You know, or something happens, you just suck it up, go on. Or I just so irritated that person, but I'll just hold it back. We'll never know, you know. Well, and we all have done that and do that, but what it does, it hinders us to walk in the power of God. It's a self-destructive attitude. Someone really irritates us, and we just hold it, and that's on us. See, and we think, well, it's just something else. We go, no, what it affects how we are able to connect with God and our spiritual relationship. We don't lose our salvation. He still loves us, you know, because he still loves that person I'm mad at. And they're going to be in heaven too. Linda's mother told me one time, she goes, I said this person was forgiven and go to heaven. She goes, no, he's not. And I said, well, yes, he is. And God, you know, Jesus died on the cross, and he trusted him. He's forgiven. She looks at me and goes, would you want to be in heaven with him? I don't. Anyway, so this is what this is addressing right here. You want to walk in the power of God. Now, one of the things here is that as we look, we're complicated. Forgiveness is necessary to obtain the grace of God, the power of God. Now, again, put this in context. We are saved by grace, period. All right, just his favor. We trust in him. But the grace of God, meaning the overview, walking in grace, walking in favor, walking in power, and that's what this the word means in the original language. There's a power that is reflected on the heart that gives you power to walk it out. Well, to have that power, you have to take care of issues, because those issues become between you and God. And one of those issues is unforgiveness. See, unforgiveness. If we have an unforgiving attitude, it's hard for us to walk with God in his power because of our unforgiving attitude. And so he tells them, no, you need to take care. You are forgiven. And I love these verses that God goes, says, forgive others. You know what the rest of that verse is? Forgive others like I have forgiven you. You've done way more than this guy. It's like, you know. But so unforgiveness is what interferes with the power of God. And here's something else. Unforgiveness keeps us locked in the past. Keeps us locked in the past. And if we do not forgive, we continually live out past conflicts in the present. It is like, if you will, it is like developing a computer program. Okay? You develop a computer program, or you have somebody, and you install it in your computer. So it goes through all these steps. You go through all this work to establish it. Once it's established, all you got to do is call it and hit one key. You go, it's there. See? Well, that's kind of like past unresolved issues. It's like a computer program. You've got all the details and everything's there, and it's locked in your head. Right? And as you walk along, all somebody has to do is go hit that one key, say that one word, and that whole computer program comes, oh, whoa! You know, and you remember every detail immediately. And that's how you act it out. See? Because, see, our brains are really good. We have excellent brains. All right? And so we remember things. We remember things. We carry them along. And what's the... And so the thing of it is, we need to understand that if we don't deal with those past offenses, we're just carrying them around in our head. Yeah. Have you ever talked with someone or had an issue and you just say, oh, well, let's make it personal. That's the best thing. Make it personal. And someone says something to you. But it's just that one word, that one button. It goes, and you're there. You got it all. And you just took one word to get it all. See, that's the same thing. So this is what, and so what happens, you start living in the past based on those past unresolved issues. And again, only one word is necessary to bring it up. Y'all with me? And so this is an issue that makes us complicated. It makes us complicated because we have this program and it controls our actions. So with these unresolved conflicts, control our actions. And then that's the reason Jesus says, forgive others like I've forgiven you. So he puts it, I've wiped this out. I don't remember that stuff anymore. You do the same thing. So this is what he's telling us to do. Now, I want to share an example. A couple I did some counseling with that kind of demonstrates this. And this couple came in, and they were upset when they walked in. They'd been married for several years and stuff. This is many years ago. And just as soon as the session starts, man, they just went at it. I mean, it's like, you know, I'm like the referee trying to, you know, I couldn't get a word in edgewise. I mean, they came to see me, but they're so mad at each other, they can't talk to me. So they're just going at it. And what was the most interesting thing, I couldn't follow anything they said. I couldn't follow their conversation. It was the strangest thing, you know. And I'd listen, and it went something like this. It went something like this. One spouse made an accusation. The other, and I don't remember this in detail, but it's something like this. And they made the accusation. And the other spouse said, what about Pittsburgh? Then the other said, oh, yeah, how about Christmas? Then the other said, Florida, that settles it. Then the other stood up and shouted, no, it doesn't, it was your mother. And I'm going, what? What is this? What is it? And it, after a while, I had to finally meet with them separately. I mean, I couldn't get them to talk to me. I mean, but I met with them separately. But what it was, that they had these terrible events happen to them in their life, you know, throughout their marriage. And they remembered them, okay, that really were bad events in their life. But all they had to do is to say one word for the other one to remember. And as soon as they said the one word, that other one remembered it. So they didn't have to waste time explaining anything. Just hit the keyword. Boom. Oh, yeah, give you back a keyword. Boom. I mean, it was a real technical way of arguing. You know, but you couldn't follow it. You couldn't follow it. But it points out the problem is the current issue is built on unforgiveness of past issues. See? So it just kept building up. But, you know, they're really efficient in their argument. No, don't have to go through it. Just say one word. He knows. She knows. And so it was like, without forgiveness, we're stuck in the past and unable to operate in the grace of God. Let me tell you God's power, his forgiveness. Call upon him to give you strength. Not as long as he did Pittsburgh. What? You see what I'm saying? You can't get to the power of God because of all the unresolved issues. Amen? Now, not to be too personal, but you all come from different families, and I know they weren't perfect. And you've probably witnessed this in your families. And you might be carrying a little bit of it in your current family. You know, you see what? But what that points out, the bigger picture is, oh, we all would say, I want to walk in the fullness and grace of God. God, appear to me. God goes, okay, deal with all these unresolved issues. Not until they confess and fess up to their wrong. Then I'll think about it. Well, it did. It just put you out of God's power. You see? And so God is, what is God trying to do? He wants to give you his power, but he says, you've got to take care of these unresolved issues. See, so you can walk in it, in the fullness, and see what I am doing. Yeah? So that's why it's important. You see, well, it's definitely important. Now, we're also complicated because unresolved issues blind us to the current issues. We have all these unresolved issues, then our person that has all these unresolved issues can't look at the current issue and deal with it objectively because they have too much stuff. They know about the issue and they bring it into the current issue. Now, see, this is a problem with counseling and something I've personally experienced. People will come for counseling and they'll share with me what the issue is. 99 times out of 100, that's not the issue. That's not the issue. There was a multitude of issues that got them there. You know, this is just the current one that made them mad. You see what? And so after a while, you realize that. Now, I'm going to give you where I learned an unbelievable lesson. And to see that current issues are built on past issues. Okay, and this was several years ago, and you know, being a kind of a younger pastor, and I had this opportunity to counsel this older couple, much older than I was, and so you know, I was kind of full of myself and say, I'll go in and counsel them, help this older couple in their life, and everything will be just hunky dory, right? You know where this is going, don't you? You know where this is going. So, we're talking. They were talking. So they're going back, you know, so this particular issue, and they're really going at it. And the exchanges were pretty intense. Now, they're older, much older. It could have been my parents, in fact, but they're much older than I were. So I'm listening, really trying to pay attention about this issue and what's going on and things. And then finally I thought, oh, I see what happened. He said this, she misunderstood him. She didn't understand what he said, and she assumed something, and that's where the issue is. And so I said, oh, I think I got this figured out. Let me share with you. So they stop, she's looking at me. So I tell her that, like that. If looks could have killed, I would be dead. She was not pleased at all with my insight. And she looked at me. And she says, well, that may be so, but I tell you what, he didn't come to little Johnny's christening. Go, what? What? Little Johnny's christening. I knew little Johnny. Little Johnny was 30 years old. He was 30 years old. And so they're back at it, and I just scoot back in my chair going, what is it? I mean, I almost needed counseling after that. What does that have to do with anything? They never missed a beat. Just back and forth, back and forth. But then, after a while, it just dawned on me. Just picture this. Picture this. Say, especially in a rural area, you have small churches and families and close friends go to those churches, and you have a christening of your child. So you take your child to christening. All the people in the church come. All the family comes. And the guy goes, I ain't going. But you think that'd be an issue? It was an issue. And every argument they ever had in their entire marriage started there. It started there. It was insolvable. Every problem was insolvable because it started there and never was dealt with. Now that is, but that's true. I didn't make this up. I really just, like I said, I thought I was going to have counseling after talking to them. It's like, my goodness. But then it drives home the point that we need to understand these things. And you can also see what it says. And you want to share with this couple how to receive and walk in the power of God. Can't, because they're tied there. And you know what happens, what it says in Hebrews, you can't obtain the grace of God, and bitterness had developed. Really, really didn't like each other. Anyway, so it's amazing when you look at this. Now, the Bible tells us, when we see this, we think, oh my gosh, nothing that bad happened, you know, but it's funny, you see something, not funny, but it's interesting, you see something like that bad, it drives home the point that you go, I see the principle, you know, you see the principle, and so the principle there, it tells us that we need to deal with all the little issues that accumulate up to big issues, you see what I'm saying, but it's just the same as he didn't come to little Johnny's christening. Just the same. But it takes longer to get there and more time to build up to it. So in studying, you do the counseling, you know, I've in my mind, I have, like, when you do marriage counseling, someone who comes up marriage counseling, well, any counseling, but we're talking about marriages, and so offenses happen, and I was, and little offenses, okay, you know, start, and so what I picture this like is like a putting a straw on a camel's back, all these offenses. So how long are you going to be married? 5 years, okay. 10 years, 20, oh man, about 20, and the camel breaks down, kawam, and they come in and say, we got an issue, and I pull out this straw, is this it? No. And I pull out, is this? No. Pull out this, is it? It's none of the straws. It's not, no, I can't help you, you know, because it's the accumulated bale of hay that's on their back. It's the accumulation of those issues. And you hear this, and this is an absolute lie, by the way, just to let you know. And they said, well, we just fell out of love. No, it's just way too much straw. way too much straw on my back. And we can't get there from here. Man, it is easier putting it on than it is taking it off. You see what I'm saying? So that's how the things happen in marriages. And so God tells us these things so that we can understand and deal with these issues. And I like this verse because I think it really tells us that we need to deal with the issues that accumulate in our marriage. And it comes from the Song of Solomon. And it says this, catch the foxes for us, the little foxes that spoil the vineyard. That's Song of Songs, or Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 15. Catch the little foxes. it's like, don't, he didn't say, shoot the lion. You know, it's like, shoot. No, it says, get rid of the foxes. And think about the foxes running around the vines, you can't see them. You just kind of see the destruction. They're just scurrying all over the place. Catch the foxes for us, the little foxes that spoil the vineyard. And that's what happens, spoils the vineyards. Now, okay, so it's important, unresolved issues, something bugging you, you need to deal with it. Now again, just, you know, those are the things before the Lord, you're trying to be all the other things we talked about, and that you're coming together so that you can have a good relationship. But remember what Hebrews said, you'll fall short the grace of God. I mean, you'll fall short of the power of God. I'm going to go to 10 Bible studies and I'm going to memorize the Bible so I can walk with God. And you can't move. You can't move. And you can't move because of unresolved past issues. He said, hey, I memorized the whole Bible front and back, you know. And you kind of think like, maybe, but you ain't walking none of it. Not that you would ever think that. But what it is, that won't happen if there's unresolved issues. You can still memorize the Bible with unresolved issues. See? But the heart change, you have to take care of the unresolved issues. So the point is, our complications, and we are complicated. Sometimes they're self-inflicted. You see what I'm saying? Now, let's to another one that are not unresolved issues. I mean, they can cause unresolved issues, but this next one will change pace here. These are not unresolved issues. But here's making a guess. The title of the message is complicated. And so a husband and wife interact. Well, their brains work differently. You know, it is, the world's driving me nuts. I don't know, but it should be driving you nuts too. But what they're doing with genders and the sexes is really, and by the way, it's incredibly damaging to how we're, God made us. Okay, they're trying to say we're something that we're not. But men and women communicate different. They just different. Their brains function different. And you have a lot of people and a lot of analogies that will show you this. And it's helpful to know. And it's not smarter, better, or anything. It's just different. It's just different. But I really like this. Maybe it's just my simplicity. I love this diagram. You should have picked one up when you walked in. I don't know if you pick one up. Maybe on the way out you can pick one up. Is it on overhead? Look at the overhead. Can you see that? For those, what we have is a like a board here, you know, electronic board, and on the top half it says man, and he has one switch, on, off, on, yeah. And then below it says woman, and there's like 30 knobs. I mean, you just got to work all those knobs. Everything's happening. She's picking up vibes all over the place and working things and feeling things and just going through all these things and all these. And the guy's just like, on, off. And after a while, she goes, you don't care. Now, what's he going to say? Yeah, I do. I mean, it's like, but what happens, you need to learn that, and this ties back into our example of the battleship and the radar and stuff, but you understand that there is a difference. There is a difference how they function on issue. How we, you notice how I said they function? I kind of separated myself from how we function as people. But that's a good example, and it helps us to know. You come in, the lady's got the radar or something, and she says, this is what's happening. And it's, well, we'll do this. How many times does that work? It never works. Well, then do this. Well, the second one didn't work either, you know. So what happens, you have to learn to work together, and this is not a bad thing. This is not a bad thing. It's just a true thing. Amen? Now, they make some humorous comparisons, and I've seen some that are just hilarious about how men and women's brains work. It just really is funny. Now, I like one in particular just because of its simplicity and, you know, on-off switch, just because of its simplicity, but it drives home the message. Again, when a husband and wife operate, especially within a family, because in a family, you got all sorts of stuff going on. Okay, there's physical things to take care of. Kids are pulling on you. You go to the grocery store, and just to go out the door, your mother-in-law calls. You see what I'm saying? So that families are complicated, and this really comes out within the family, okay? But this is one that helped me understand it. And it's like, we'll have the husband and wife, again, complicated how we handle things, but we have a husband and wife, and they have the same amount of information, okay? So we'll start in a level playing field. They have the same amount of information. And it's kind of like a desk, okay? So we have this desk with the drawers, same amount of information. Now the guy has his information in the drawers, different drawers, and he has set of information here, set of information here, set of information here, set of information here. They're in his drawers of this desk. The wife has her desk. She has all her information on top of the desk. It's the whole top of the desk is covered with the same information. Now, what happens when the husband has a conversation, he opens his drawer, pulls out the information, sits it down, let's discuss this information. Now, the wife, since all her information is on top of the desk, she will start with what he said, but because of all her desk information is on top of the desk, she can just smoothly move to one subject after another with no issues. Because it's all there. So she said, that's your, well, what about this? We're not talking about that. We're talking about this. But I want to talk about this. Okay, he takes his information, opens his drawer, puts it in, shuts the drawer, opens the other drawer, pulls out this information, said, okay, we'll talk about this. And that just ties to this. Well, no, but what about, well, I want to talk. Okay, wait a minute. Get the information, put it in the drawer, tack that, put it down, open it, put it. That's shit, I'm glad you got that because it reminded me of this. What are you doing? What are you doing? Now see, but what it is the same information. And it is connected, but how can you do this information when you haven't solved this issue? See? All the guys go, that's what I told her. Now, so when we look at this, when we look at this, it gives us an insight that how sometimes frustrations boil up and how sometimes this can be the little foxes that destroy the vineyard, you know? What's wrong with you? Why don't you stay on the subject? I am on the subject because this is connected to the subject. No, it's not. It's not in my drawer. Amen? Come on. Nobody's saying amen. Amen! Okay? So the whole point, you take the overhead we have the death, it shows that when the families are complicated, that we get in these discussions, this is what happened. And the mistake we can't is try to change the other person, but is try to understand what's going on and to move, be able to move within this. The wife's more understanding with you, that you got to open your desk drawer, you know, and he'll be over understanding to his wife that she immediately saw how this, all these things are connected within the family life. I met this guy, and he was a CEO of, years ago, Bill Mettings, CEO of Xerox. Guy was brilliant. I mean, he made a lot of money. And he came on me, and his wife was a sweetheart, but she's a little bit, what? And had two boys. And I met with him one time, and he said, I make decisions all day long. All day long, significant decisions. I go home, and I can't make one decision. Not one. I don't understand it. I don't understand her. She doesn't understand me. I say this, and she says, I forgot this. I didn't even bring that up, and she said, I forgot it. And he's going, well, that's what it is. See? Your family is not work. Your family is family. And it's complicated, and this is what happened. And it's a good thing to remember. It's a good thing to remember. Did you get the kids off to school? Got them off. Cut the drawer. Got them off. Did you give them their lunches? You didn't say nothing about lunches. What do you mean lunches? If you want to give them lunch, tell me to give them lunch. You said give them to school. I got them to school. You know, it's like, what's wrong with you? You didn't. It wasn't in my drawer. But you should. It's on my desk. You don't send a kid to school with no lunch. You know. But that's what happens. But it happens all the time. Amen? So we just learn. We learn, and so we benefit from that. We benefit from that, and it gives us a little bit of understanding. Okay? So just something. Yeah, okay. Now, and by the way, I share this with you, that it's amazing. As you talk to every family's different, every couple's different, but these principles in different ways, we're not cookie cutters. Every couple's different. But the principles in general are true, and we need to try to understand one another. And they're true in every family. They're true in every, whether they're telling you about it or not is irrelevant. It is true. It is true. So we understand. We try to understand one another. And these are just a few examples. Now, here's one more. And again, and the title of the message is Complicated. And what we have, the diversity in our abilities and gifts make us complicated. Now, you can see where I'm going now. Unresolved issues. Men and women's minds are different, you know, like that, how they process information. And now we're going to look at this. We're complicated because of the diversity of abilities and gifts. Okay, so all of these things are true. They're not independent. They're true. And so they come in one pile. See, well, that's tough. Well, that's tough. Well, that's tough. Now put them in one pile. See, and then you're just like, oh, my gosh. It's complicated. It's complicated. You can't separate them, all right? But you can begin to kind of understand them. Now, so the diversity of our abilities and gifts make us complicated. And the thing of it is, before God, the very things that make us complicated are meant to enhance our marriage. Let this settle. Those things that make us complicated are the very things that are meant to enhance our marriage. That's the reason you usually marry someone who's not like you. Not like you. I thought, what, that guy ever married that girl? Oh, my God, that must have been demonic. Oh, no, God meant it to happen. Surely, God, you didn't mean that to happen. He meant it to happen because their differences, their complicated, enhances them as a couple. Let that settle. It enhances as a couple. Now, I know some of you are thinking that, well, you know, you don't know my wife. Yeah, maybe there, but not mine. No, or vice versa. Now, so when we look at this, I want to read this verse to you. And this verse is concerning spiritual gifts, okay? But the same application is to any gift, because God made us in his own image. So all human beings, lost or saved, have gifts that reflect the image of God, okay? So there's a good application here. So 1 Corinthians 12:4. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. See, so God is telling us in the spiritual world, there's varieties of Spirit, varieties of gifts, but it's the same Spirit. And the whole thing works together. One person doesn't have every gift, all right? One person doesn't have every gift. And so that's the point here. And so, and here, listen to this. I'm going to read this slowly. If we don't see these differences as resources, we will see them as irritations ruining our marriage. Got one amen. Hey, amen. Yeah, it's just been here an hour. It's the only amen I got. At least it's from a God. We know what. Okay, now see, but you see this. If we don't see these differences as resources, we see them as irritations. Amen. Your gifts irritate me to death. I hope you and God are happy. I'm not. I mean, that doesn't make sense, does it? Okay, now, I'm going to share how I discovered that an irritation was, in fact, a great resource. Now, this is one of my aha moments. Okay, so I've been shared before certain things I've learned, and Lynn and I had been married about 15 years, 10 years of marriage, 2.5 years separation, and so this is about 16, 17 years of marriage. Well, you'd think I'd about have this down by then, okay? So it's about 17 years of marriage. And one morning, we lived in a townhouse in Reston, and kids had breakfast or something, and so I was doing my I love yous. Amen? I learned something doing some I love yous, and they left. I'm cleaning up the kitchen, putting the dishes away, wipe the windows down. I mean, I'm just overdoing it on the I love yous. And so Linda comes walking down the stairs that come right into the kitchen. So she walks down the stairs, and she steps into the kitchen. I swear to God, her eyes couldn't even focus. And she goes, would you pick that up? I've been in there 30 minutes. I had been in there 30 minutes. She walked in, and it said, would you pick that up? And after 17 years of marriage, I said, yes, dear. And I picked it up. And I walked out into the living room. Oh, I was fried. Oh, my goodness. I was like, you gotta be kidding me. How can that even happen? How can that happen? And I'm looking there, and I just like, I mean, I was perplexed beyond thinking. I mean, it was just so frustrating. And so she's upstairs. She's in the kitchen. We have a little table, and there's a window by this table in the kitchen. So she fixed her cup of tea. She had no idea that I'm losing my mind. Okay, I mean, she had no idea. And so she had a cup of tea. She's drinking. So I thought, what happened? So I walked up. I said, hon, I said, I'd like you to do something for me. Oh, sure, what? I said, why don't you just glance out the window, glance back at me. She said, okay. She's glanced back. What? I said, I want to tell me what you saw. Oh, I saw our dogwood tree is outside in front of the window. And the sun is shining down on the leaves. And where the sun is hitting the leaves, it's kind of a yellow. And where the sun's not hitting the leaves, it's a real dark green. And it's blossoming, and there's 4 pink petals. And around each petal is a dark pink rim. And in the center, there's an almond-shaped center, and there's 3 antennas coming over the almond-shaped center. And the car is out front, and it needs washed. I looked down, and I thought, holy cow. And it was, I mean, I was like, I looked at her. About that time, our son, which you know who our son is, he's about 15, he comes traipsing up into the kitchen. I said, come over here, Mitch, come here. What, 15? Come here, I want you to look. Look out the window. Why? Just look out the window. Just look. See, he looks out. I go, what'd you see? A tree. I know, there's a tree. There's something else there. What else is out there? There's nothing out there but a tree. Listen, there's more out there. What is it? Grass. There's just a grass. Tree and grass. There's nothing out there but a tree and grass. And all of a sudden it dawned on me, oh my God, she sees stuff I don't even comprehend. I thought, oh my God, she sees all this stuff. And I said, that's crazy. If I saw the world like her, I'd walk out the door and just scream and cover my eyes and run back in. I couldn't stand it. You know, I'm just kind of going through life, you know, stuff blowing up all around me. I'm happy as I can be. I mean, that's like a curse to me. It's like, I said, oh my God, she sees all of that at a glance. Now, what happened? What was really good is, for the first time in my 17 years of marriage, for the first time in our marriage, I saw her gift as a resource. That was the first time I saw it. That it's a resource. It was just a huge irritation. You see that? No. Pick up that? Why? Look at that. Did they forget that? I forgot that. You know, it's like, gosh, lighten up. But all of a sudden, it's like, oh my gosh, this is a resource. I mean, this is like a radar on steroids. I mean, it's like, good grief, what she sees. Now, as a result, because I see it as a resource, wherever we go, whatever we do, I ask her, what'd you see? I always do, because I know she saw something I didn't. We talk to people. I walk away, I said, what'd you see? Because she saw way more than I saw. See? And so I want to know, and but what, I know I didn't see it. I know. I'll tell you this. I shouldn't tell you this. But anyway, but we'll go to a party. You know, she'd come over and say, well, let's come here. Yeah. Says, do you know that, you know, so-and-so? I said, yeah. Says, I think he's feeling bad. Is he even here? She said, yeah, no, he's not doing well. What do you mean? She said, you just need to go up and share something with him, and he needs encouraging work. All right. So I walk over and say, hey, so how are you doing? Says, you doing okay? No, I'm not. And he just pours out his heart. He says, how'd you know? I said, oh, the Holy Spirit just directed. I wouldn't let that. Anyway, I just think I might as well take some credit from it anyway. You know, we'll see what's going on. But it's like, it's amazing. It's just absolutely amazing. But I always want to, because I know. But so what my irritation was a resource. It always was a resource. But until I figured it out, it was an mind-boggling irritation. Amen? Y'all happy with that? Now, see, so here's what we have. As you look at this, and it comes back, I'm going to use the same verse, or in the same chapter, but in 1 Corinthians 12:7, and what you have here, again, this is spiritual gifts, but it's how we're made up. People are complicated, and God gave all people gifts. 1 Corinthians 12:7, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Everyone has a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Not to fight, back and forth. It's so that you see the whole picture. The whole picture. And when God creates a church, he comes in, he brings all different kind of gifts in, and they're supposed to cooperate. But if you don't understand the other person is a resource, it's going to be an irritation. You see what I'm saying? Amen? Okay. And your spouse, I just want you to think, keep this deep. I don't want you to raise your eyebrows or nothing. We'll just think of your spouse. Think of something they do other than sin. It really irritates you. God goes, no, it's a gift. It's a gift. Need to figure it. Need to figure it out. It's a gift. Amen? Amen? And what is so interesting to me as I look at this in these sessions, you're like, God did this. I mean, he really did. He made it this way. And he made it in such a way that you have to seek out to understand before you understand. You don't just understand. Like we, y'all know we have a new little grandchild. Okay, he's 1 week old. And you hold him up and you say, buddy, you don't know nothing. You don't know nothing. It's like, oh my gosh. It just, you're just like, oh. What does he do? Well, one day the light will shine upon him and he'll know something. No, he won't. It's the family will teach him, the world will teach him. But if you're open to what God is doing, then you move in the power of God and the grace of God, then you learn from it and develop. See? And you're farther along than poor little old Dylan, 1 week old. 1 week old, right? Do you ever do this? And I'm sure some of you have teenagers, you know, and they have a boyfriend or girlfriend. They come in, boyfriend or girlfriend. And, you know, I can't help it. When I look at it, I thought, oh, my God. Oh, Lord, what they got to go through. Oh, you know, it's just like, let me sit down your 17-year-old. Let me explain this to you. They're just going like, then you can't. You can't, you know. But you're there. It's a family to walk them through it. Because they'll come crying home or you'll get a phone call, you know. And you don't say, I told you so. No, you got, okay, let's walk through this. Let's walk through it. That's what parents do. So we have it here, the last overhead. Sin messes up everything. But proper teaching and the baptism of the Holy Spirit will lead God's people to behave like Christ, which will exalt the woman, demand leadership by the man, and will model godliness to your children. Amen? Hallelujah. So, and I always enjoy when I share things like this, that I hope you feel privileged because you learn from my pain. I personally feel like, God, I wish you told somebody else and they could just told me. Anyway, the truth, you can see where the truth came out in the intensity. And it also explains, as you go through things, you persevere, and the Lord is your teacher. The Lord is your teacher. And it says, you know what a teacher is supposed to do? Teach others. So they can teach others. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, let's just pray and praise God how complicated we are. Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for your gifts. I thank you that really your majesty is reflected in your people. And Lord, I thank you for that. And I thank you that we have to learn to have an appreciation and how to work with one another, how to compliment one another. And so I give that to you. But more than anything else, I pray for the marriages and the difficulties that are going on with the marriages. And truly, sin messes up everything. And the world is attacking the marriage. The world is attacking the marriage. You think, well, it's the government or this. It's the marriage. The evil one's attacking the marriage. The world is attacking the marriage. And Lord, we stand strong because we have your word and your strength and your power, and you overcome the world. You overcome the world. And we thank you for that. And so we praise you and honor you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.